All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. What a week we have in year 20 for the Houston Dynamo. And of course, the 2025 season kicks off this weekend against FC Dallas. You can get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. There's been a lot of celebration around the 20 year history of the Dynamo in the 30 year MLS. And as we go to our next interview, it's brought to you by Cactus Music. And this is a guy who I know loves music, just like I do. Cactus Music, for all your vinyl CD needs, get over there, talk to Quinn, talk to the staff, the pre-owned vinyl, the new vinyl, it's all there. And by the way, once you go in there, you probably don't want to leave. It is Cactus Music. With that, we bring in Canadian international, former Houston Dynamo. And before I bring him on, I just want to read you a few of the accomplishments of Dwayne De Rosario, which is pretty incredible. Two-time goal of the year, four-time MLS Cup winner, 2011 Golden Boot, over 100 Major League Soccer goals, MLS MVP in 2011, seven-time All-Star, six-time Best 11, and voted one of the greatest 25 players in the history of Major League Soccer. And personally, I'd put him in the top three. That's just a little bit of my opinion. But Dwayne joins us now. Dwayne, how are you?
Good morning, man. How you doing, buddy?
I was coming out of breath here reading all these accomplishments. It really is amazing when you look at it on paper. Have you looked back on it and just looked at all the achievement that's occurred during your year, your years playing the game?
Yeah, I mean, I would be lying to say I even get emotional when I hear it, because there was a lot that went into that, a lot of sacrifice. I love it. I eat, sleep, breathe the game. And, you know, my time in Houston, you know, I always try to showcase that and highlight that, is that, you know, the love and passion of the game that I always try to bring on the field and bring in the locker room with my teammates. And that never die attitude and that winning mentality that thankfully we're able to, you know, translate and bring to Houston their first championships in our inaugural seasons.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us, two MLS Cups, 2006 and 2007 here in Houston. And I think people fell in love with the entertainment aspect of your game, because, you know, people would go to games in Houston expecting something unique and different from Dwayne De Rosario. You know, you can relate that to a lot of the greats that are creators.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I like to express myself on the canvas, which is the field. You know, I always played with that flair and that style of play that brought, you know, spectators and fans and my community off their seats. And I was one that always never shied away from the, I dare you and do that. And I would do it. I would try it. And, you know, it just never stopped throughout my career. It's, you know, some would say a risk taker. Some would say, you know, as Dom would sometimes tell you, you know, lost a lot of hair from watching me try and do things. But, you know, it was just my expression of my experiences of life and growing up and playing the game that has brought me some of those accolades that you mentioned, and most importantly, brought me joy and peace of mind.
The creativity factor, I mean, when does that get nurtured? Was that from your father? Was it from a coach?
Yeah,
did
for
that
sure.
Come naturally?
Well, I grew up, hey, I got to check out that record store. You know, I'm a big music guy. You know,
let me know when you come. We'll get you extra access with Quinn. Guy
for
who
sure.
Owns it, knows music beyond belief at Cactus Music.
For sure. And actually, when I was in Houston, I would be, some of my time would be spent with DJs there, you know, Swift and so many other DJs that I would just connect with outside the game, because I think it's important to always find a passion outside the game. And music was my passion, amongst other things. But, you know, my dad definitely encouraged me to play with that expression, self-expression, growing up in a time of kind of soccer where it's very kick and run. I want to say that I was one of those players that brought something different to Bob Leonarduzzi at age 16, when he brought me in with the Canadian national team, that Even at that age, I had no fear, and I was, I was willing to take players on. I was willing to take some of the senior guys on, and play dance with the ball, right? And something that a lot of the senior guys, especially Alex, Randy Samuels, Alex Bumbry, really encouraged me to say, you know what, hey man, really, you keep playing with that flair and that passion. It's nice to see. But on the flip side, a lot of the coaches really, wanted me to just play, keep it direct. So I had to learn how to modify my game, had to learn how to evolve my game, and know when to do it and when not to do it. And thankfully the coaches I had, in Dom, he really appreciated that side of me of playing with that self-expression and playing with that flair and bringing that element to a very good Houston Dynamo team, which was already a championship team in San Jose when we just got relocated. So, I think it's very important to always, express yourself and be uniquely you in those when you're in the arts. And I think football is a form of art.
I could not see that Dynamo team without the straw that stirred the drink, which was you, to balance all that good collective play and the work ethic that team had. And those were two remarkable years. What about the memories of the two cups? And of course, in the second one at RFK, let's start with that one. Brian Ching was not able to play that day. You took it over. You had the snap header. And then you set up Joseph and Gwenya. I never forget. I sat up in the second deck with my brother because we both flew in. And it was a phenomenal day, over 50,000 people. And what a moment it was for you. But maybe some recollection of winning that title at RFK Stadium.
Yeah, memories that I'll never forget. And it wasn't just we were missing Brian Ching, we're also missing Ricardo Clark as well. So
That's
two,
right.
the heart and soul of our team in the spine, I mean, the forward and a defensive mid, two, huge impactful guys of our team. I remember we started the game flat. We were trying to get a rhythm and obviously New England. They really wanted to get revenge from the year before we beat them in Dallas, and we just couldn't really get our rhythm in the first half. They came at us. They were physical. They were determined. I when the game went on, I think at halftime when we caught our breath and kind of settled down, it's like okay, Dom gave us a firm talk and said, "Listen, you guys can continue to, carry on the way that you're doing in the first half, or you can play the way we know how to play, and that's the Dynamo way. And we got to take the game to them, and we got to impose ourselves on them." And I think we turned it around in the second half and came with a different mentality. And I, being the leader or one of the leaders on the team, I took that responsibility on myself. Obviously, I couldn't have scored that snap header without Brian Ching effort. We wouldn't have won the game without, Pat Onstad making a huge save. Like, there's so many components, that I don't want to. It's not just me. Yeah, I helped in the and create two special moments in the game, but there's so many things, factors that helped us to win, including our staff, including the support of the fans coming and looking up and seeing a sea of orange in DC. Seeing that kind of support was unbelievable, and the support that we also got from our whole Dynamo staff, from the front office and everything, that truly believed in us.
Yeah, that was those were remarkable years. Was it Brad Davis who hit the delivery in for the snap header?
Yeah, he's the one that crossed it to me. And it's funny
Brad
because,
did, yeah.
we were arguing before that. We were going back and forth. We had a big argument in the field. And then, it's just funny how things work. And he played it to me and I scored. I remember that perfectly. And then we were just laughing. And, but that's how we were with that team, man. We were ruthless with each other. We were so competitive in trainings. It made the games easy. But it also, I remember times we get in fights with each other, and sometimes it went to fists and kicks. And but at least I knew when I looked up, and every player, when they looked up, they knew that, you go through me, you got to go through the rest of my players, and we were very united in that sense. And I think that's a very hard team to beat. And I think even to this day, all of us in our at that time, we would take on any team right now, no matter what kind of stars they were, just because we had that team camaraderie and that, we had so many weapons. When you look at back at it, you had and Joseph come off the bench. You had Kai Kamara. You had Stuart Holden. You had Jeff Cameron. You had Chris Wondolowski. Look at the careers these guys had that came from that team, and these guys were coming off the bench. So, you know what I mean? It was just a really amazing, amazing team, and not to mention so many other players that played on that team that
Yeah,
contributed.
let's mention a few more. So you had your two wingers, Brad
Yeah, I mean
Davis,
Brian
Brian Mullen.
Mullen, Steady Eddie, man. Like you knew what you got every single game. You had Craig Weibel. Look at what he's done with his career. Pat Onstad. Look what he's done with his career. You've had,
Eddie
Eddie
Robinson,
Robinson. Look what he's done with his career. Of course, you
Wade
mentioned
Barrett.
Chang and Wade Barrett. All these guys, I'm very grateful for. Made something of themselves. Paul
Yeah.
Dalglish.
Yeah.
Even Mike Tribala, look what he's done with his opportunity. And you had, Ricardo Clark, who's now coaching, at Vancouver Whitecaps. The second team. I'm just very grateful that everybody kind of is doing all right with their lives. We've all had struggles and challenges, but in all fairness, I think everyone's doing okay, and I'm happy, and I continuously wish them all the best. There's other players in that mix that maybe I might be, are definitely forgetting, but
Yeah, for
everybody's
sure.
doing pretty good.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think in that time period, it was beginning to shift where there was going to become opportunity for ex-players to coach and be GMs. And it's great to see Pat and Craig Weibel and all these guys still remain in the game and contributing to the game in a big way.
Yeah, for sure, and
Yeah.
it's important, right? Because, again, guys like I would like to say my brothers, I know them inside out, right? We live together for a good part of our lives, every day seeing each other and getting to know their families and all these things. And one thing I really appreciate our coaching staff for. Dominic Kinnear and Spencer at the time, is these guys really brought in good human beings, good characters, right? And that's why I knew that everybody was going to do well after their playing career, is because they're just good guys, you know what I mean? And that goes a long way. Ambitious, winners, very competitive. And when you have that mentality, you're gonna be successful in life, because you're gonna always find a way. You're never gonna, like I said, you're gonna have hard, tough moments. Life always gives us many different challenges, especially as we get older. And but with that mentality, you get over it, and you find solutions, and you find a new way.
Duane De Rosario joining us. Just a remarkable career. I whipped off a lot of the things that he's done. He's a four-time MLS Cup winner. He was voted greatest 25 players in MLS history, which is pretty amazing. Duane, I do know that opposing coaches would tell teams in locker rooms, "All right, look, we gotta knock De Rosario around. We gotta kick him a little bit." For younger listeners, how did you deal with the physical element when people were really trying to get you off your game?
Yeah, well, it's funny. That's a great question. Growing up, my father always told me I was smaller. I was light. I was very nifty. I loved the dribble game. I loved the salad game. I love, we call it in the Caribbean, beatsing. You beat a man. And that was my game. And but I also would come with welts of bruises and bumps on my legs. And my dad said, "Hey, you gotta understand, son. If because my dad was a no nonsense defender, he was like, go through you, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, if you're gonna play that game, you gotta expect what comes with that game, and people are gonna kick you, people are gonna try to take you out." So I've experienced that from since I was a kid growing up. I'm the youngest of two brothers, right? So I was the rag doll. I was the test dummy in
Crash the
everything.
crash test dummy.
Wrestling, I was the one guy against my brothers who were tag teams champions. So I was used to the physicalness. But believe it or not, is as I got older, I would always play 2, 3 years up. I would when I was 15, 16, with the provincial program here in Canada, we'd play in the men's league. Guys would always go after us because, again, we're playing, it's just what I did. It's just how I played. Guys would go after your body, your feet, so you have to protect yourself, sometimes even physically. But I internalized that to say now, okay, I was having an all right game, but because you kicked me, you just woke up a giant now. And now I want to score. Now I want to really show you, what I'm made of. So I'm not encouraging the retaliation to young kids. That was just part of my experience, and I'm just being authentic, and I'm being real. But what I want to tell the young kids is when you have that in your game, or that's part of your game, and you like to dribble, just realize you have to know when and when not to. Just like how I had to learn during my journey in my career. Sometimes simple is best. And when you do express yourself, just realize you're gonna get kicked. Guys are gonna be physical in you, especially if you're a marked man like I was. A lot of our attack was built through myself to other players, through other players on the team. And you have to understand that responsibility, because good dribblers are usually the creative ones, the ones that are willing to do things that other players think about or dream about, or take the chances that other players won't because they want to play it safe. But know that with that comes also, it's sometimes not going to work out the way. And sometimes you're going to have to take the responsibility of the not so positive sides out of that, is play, other maybe your players get in your face, maybe your coach get in the face, hey, keep it simple, and yelling at you. But you still got to believe in yourself that no, I understand what I tried, it just didn't work, but I'm gonna try it again, and I'm gonna try it again, and I'm gonna try it again. And that's because you still got to be you. Like you can't play outside of who you are. You still got to be authentic. And I think even at a professional level, you still got to play with love and joy. You look at the great guys, like, one of my favorite players to date is right now is Messi. You see him play, you see the serious and competitiveness in his face, but you still see the young kid when he dribbles. You still see the joy, like a kid in a playground. And that part of the game, I don't see enough of today. And I hope players, and I encourage players to, still play with that passion, still play with that, flair, and still bring that joy and excitement that the fans want to see.
Dwayne, it's funny you say that because my next question, you just led me into it beautifully. And we're talking to Dwayne De Rosario, former Houston Dynamo, 20th year anniversary for the Dynamo. They open up this weekend against FC Dallas.
20 years, man. Wow.
20 years,
Can you believe
it is
that?
pretty, yeah. I guess
20
I'm getting close
years.
to being put in the Smithsonian or something. I don't know. The
Right?
paleontology
Hey, salute to you,
into
then,
the
man. You were there from
into
day
the
one, man.
dinosaur section. I don't know.
You were there from day one. You were there from 1876, Houston, 1870, was it 18, was it?
1836, I think.
Yeah, and then
That
we
was a
became
good
Houston
name. I liked
Dynamo.
Oliver coming up with that, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
But back to your point, because you do a lot of coaching and working with youth players. Do you feel like there's too much data now? There's too much information going into the heads of players that it may curb that creative side that you've made such a career of? Is that a worry?
Yes and no. I think the data is important. I think it's good because at the end of the day, let's be honest, it's a stats game, especially if you're an attacking player. It's like, what have you done for me lately? Where's your goals? Where's your assists? That's part of understanding and accepting the responsibility of a creative player, of a goal scorer. On the flip side, defensive side, how much goals have you let in? The defensive record. If your defensive record is not that good, it's a reflection of maybe your defense or your lack of communication. So that part, I think it's not bad. The part that I'm really having a hard time with is when the coaches are just looking for just big, strong, and fast. And you still have guys, like I said, Messi out there, and the thinkers and the orchestrators of the games that sometimes are being overlooked because they don't have that size, they don't have that, that stature, but they have that in their thought, and they have that in the mind, they have that in their ability to create and to make magic happen. And I just don't want the game to move further away from those players, the Ronaldinhos, the Xavis, the Iniestas, the Carecas, the Pelés, the Maradonas, the, like, they move you. They make your hairs grow when you watch. You go to see them. You know what I mean? They're the players, that bring joy and excitement to the game. And don't get me wrong, every player, every person has their likes and dislikes, right? Of certain qualities that we all look for. But I hope as the game starts to really evolve, that we keep in mind those players. And I want to say, to be fair to MLS, they're still recognizing that, quote unquote, that 10. Even though I wasn't a 10, I would like to think of myself as a 10,
Yeah,
right?
let me just stop you there. You weren't a typical 10 because I mean, what I remember is your instinct to get forward right away.
Yes.
So what kind of 10 were you?
I was a 10 wearing 14. I was a 10 in 14.
Johan Cruyff's number, by the way.
Thierry Henry's number, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
that's
Thierry Henry is a big guy, big in
yep.
stature, but he's a 10, right? In
Yeah.
terms of how he played, his flair, his willingness, his taking a corner kick and curving it into the net, his creativity, his mindset was that of a 10, but he could definitely, if we're talking a number system, he could definitely fit a 9 too because of his stature, right? Where I don't have that kind of big, tall stature, but a typical 9 is a hold up, lay off, get in the box, poacher type. But he was more of a he could definitely play a 10 of just because of his creativity. He was very versatile in that way. But I would like to think I was a traditional 10 that I like to get on the ball as much as possible. I always want to be involved in every play, and I wanted to contribute, as you mentioned, to the final product, the scoring goals or creating goal scoring opportunities.
Duane De Rosario joining us, former Houston Dynamo. I remember when you'd beat a guy in midfield, it was like the tempo just shot through the roof. And all of a sudden, you got guys getting in front of the ball and running with you. It was super exciting. Beating a guy off the dribble, is that the greatest weapon against tactics?
For sure, because that's where the cleverness comes in. That's where the football IQ comes in. To whether you're beating a guy on the dribble, right? Again, brings back to your childhood and what that feels like, dancing with the ball and expressing yourself on the ball. And then beating a defender without the ball is which I liked as well. Timing of your runs, and that's why it was so great to play with players like Brian Chings and the Mullins and the Brad Davises, is they know how to pick that pass out. So if you can go boom and move like that and have a defender shift just enough for you to create that space away from the ball, kind of envisioning how the play is going to work out is the brilliance of, I think, of the orchestrating again with your movement off the ball, with your runs and your movement off the ball, not playing as the play comes ABC, but playing more as your intuition and your I would say, spidey senses, and really being in tune to when to move at the right time, how to pull defenders away to create space. You have a lot of, going back to what you're saying, the stats is, we put a lot of emphasis in players. Oh, look how much ground he covered. No, I think that's great, but you might be running and not, you're constantly running into passing lanes, you're running into the running patterns. Players like myself would maybe pull away a defender waiting to run that space, and then you run into my space and you're driving me crazy because you won't stop. Sometimes less is more, right? And
You don't want to
some
kill each
players,
other's space, right?
And sometimes you're a little bit too anxious, and you need to just kind of hold your position, allow the play to develop before you're just running around all over the place aimlessly. But hey, on stats, it shows how much ground you covered, and we're going to highlight that. Right? So again, it's another, double-edged sword that, you got to be mindful of. Are you running around so much to make up for the fact that you're not thinking enough, or you're not giving yourself time to think? Or are you running around because you just always want to be involved in the play, or want to be involved in every action?
Effective running. So let me go back to Robertson, and we're talking to Dwayne De Rosario. Since it was such a compact field, and so was Spartan Stadium where you guys came from, did that ever make it challenging? Because, in the mind of most, they'll say, wow, if we got a creative player, the more condensed it is, the closer we are to him, the better it is we can negate his effectiveness. Was that a place, going back to your point, that you had to be kind of economical with the types of runs you made
For
and
sure.
you made?
Definitely you have to be economical. You have to think before you moved. But I'll tell you what, it was more of a headache for the other team. Because, it wasn't just me. Everybody that I could remember, even someone like, Eddie Robinson and Craig Weibel, they were good on the ball. They weren't just kick and run guys. Yeah, they would resort to that at times because we were a no-nonsense defending team. Like, if we knew we couldn't find a solution to play out the back, we would get it forward because we knew we were such a versatile team that we can play in any system, shape, or form. We had guys like Ching up front who can hold the ball up, and then we had guys like myself who can come underneath. But we also had guys we can play through, like Ricardo Clark and these kind of players, Mullins and Davis, who are good in their feet too. So our objective was to always play out the back and try to play progress up the field. But we're also no nonsense. We would get the ball in the other team's half and put them under pressure. And that was also our tactic, is, stifle a team in Robertson. But technically, we can play against any of those teams. And I think one thing we always got respect for, especially against the Liga MX teams and the Central American teams, when they come there, it's like, whoa, these guys can play. Like, they're not just, a bunch of kick and run team. These guys want to play against us. And I think we've showcased that. And I think that's why we've gained a lot of respect from the Hispanic community in Houston when we played there, because they watched a team that brought a versatile game.
Yeah, very
We brought the
effective.
flair, we brought the physical, we brought the direct. We were solid from front to back.
Yeah, it was not a one-dimensional team, that's for sure.
No.
Dwayne, before I let you go, you have a son, if I'm saying this name correctly, Adisa.
Yes.
All right, just signed a contract with TFC, the team you played for also. He's a goalkeeper. What happened?
I don't know, man. I may dropped him on his head too much when he was a kid.
I mean, if
No,
you
you
were
know
going to
what?
go farther away from a creative attacking midfielder, it's a goalkeeper.
I have two goalkeepers, believe it or not, because my
No
youngest is a
kidding.
goalkeeper now. He wants to follow in his brother's footsteps. But at first, of course, I was like every dad, son, what are you talking about? You're not going to be a goalkeeper. You're going to play. But he was adamant. Like, from young, he understood the game, right? And he would take the ball, and he was a goal scorer, right? That's what I saw him. Every game, like, I'd be like, okay, how much goals did he score today? Oh yeah, he scored 4 or 5 goals. Nice, great, good job. And eventually he started to like say, okay, I like that diving. I like what the key I like that kid's doing. Well, can I play net one day? And sure enough, he had the opportunity to play in net, and as they say, the rest was history. He enjoyed it that much. So when I saw that passion, and I was like, you know what? Okay, I know how to score goals. I know how to teach goalkeeping because I know angles, and I know what it looks like from an attacking player, and where the opportunities are, depending on, where you're standing in the net. Depending on the angle you're giving me, are you shifting your weight on the right foot? Are you shifting weight? All those little nuances, right? That I started to work with him on. And thankfully, he took it and then took it to a next level, and he didn't look back. And I'm so proud of him. It makes brings me great joy that I have another one of my sons actually playing pro, because my other son Osaze is in Seattle with the Sounders, and you know, just to that's actually playing for Guyana too, national team, which brings me back to my culture, my heritage, and you know, just proud of all my kids. My daughter, you know, she's doing amazing in her career, and you know, just great, great proud dad. You know what I mean? To have my kids doing well, and at the end of the day, you know, you take out all those accolades and you take out all the things that I've done in my career. When I came home, I was just a dad, you know, and for me, I would say, I would hope the same for any parent, is you want your kids to do better than you. You want your kids to excel in life, to be great in life. And thankfully, I'm very fortunate that so far three of my kids have done that, and I'm very proud of them.
What a wonderful life. By the way, I can't let you go without a word about your wife, too, because she's a part of this team, the De
100
Rosario team.
100%. She's the backbone of our family. She's the glue. She allowed me to do what I did on the field, you know, and allow me to be that professional, that and all those accolades, is to know that everything was going to be handled at home, that allowed me a peace of mind to express myself on the field, but most importantly allow me to be a real pro, because I was very militant in my game and my craft. You know, game days, it was no nonsense. I didn't want no disruptions from my kids. I didn't want no disruption from anybody. I just wanted to breathe and just focus and think about the game, and she allowed me space to be me authentically, and you know, I have a lot of respect for her and our journey as a pro, and still supporting our kids.
I should know this. Mention your wife's first name, Dwayne.
Brandy.
Brandy. So,
Yeah.
Brandy De Rosario, big kudos to her. Dwayne, listen, this was awesome. All those in Houston are going to love hearing from you. Thank you so much for coming on the program. Continued success. You're living a wonderful life. Keep it going.
Thank you always, Glenn, and appreciate all you do and for the game as always. And when I'm down there, make sure we check out that record store. We go digging in the crates.
We'll go together. I know where the secret stuff's hidden in that place, too.
Amazing, amazing.
Cactus music. And there's some good reggae there, Dwayne, by the way. So
Beautiful. I
we'll
love
hook it up.
alt music, but reggae is my heart.
I kind of knew that. I kind of knew that. All right, Dwayne, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Appreciate you.
What an interview there with Dwayne De Rosario. That was a beauty.